right.
Take number 367.
And that song never gets old.
Never.
I mean, I could rock out all day to Sonic Reformation intro music.
I think we have.
No disrespect to the gentleman that wrote that for us, but...
Reed Mounts.
Yeah. Old Reed. But, Reed. But I think I've heard that song today alone, what, about 12 times?
Yeah. Yeah, this is... This one's...
We've been having some major issues going on. Here. Technical issues, man. And common sense. We can't get it right today. Can't get right.
It's gone.
Oh, okay.
Let's play that song one more time.
Yeah, y'all want to hear it again?
Want to hear a song? What?
Like to hear. Wrote a song about it. Yeah. Like to hear it. Here it goes. All right. So we're going to talk about a few of the key players here in Chattanooga today. Instead of focusing on one specific person, we're going to look at kind of the key players in the charismatic and health, wealth, prosperity movement, and just lies and garbage. I don't know how to put that nicely, so we're just going to say garbage.
Yeah. And so here's something that's interesting. If I'm not mistaken, all three of these guys have been on Chris Roseborough's show.
Yes. I don't know if Kevin Wallace has.
So I know two out of three have. So Tavner Smith and Ron Phillips Sr. So Obvious yes. House, even though the son, Jr., has since taken over. But two of these churches have been on Fighting for the Faith.
Yes.
So, and we have them right in our backyard. So I know what some of you all are thinking. Well, this is kind of a local deal. So if you're one of the seven that listens and you're not in this area, you're like, I'm going to bail. Well, I think you might want to stick around just a little bit, because I think what we're seeing, what we're about to see, or in the process of seeing this, is these three large churches somehow coming together.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to mention each other's names in their sermons. They're going to each other's church to preach now.
Yeah.
So it is three of the largest churches in Chattanooga, and three of the most charismatic, just garbage spewing churches also. But you're seeing these, it's almost like they're trying to create Voltron.
Yeah.
You know, and the pieces coming together to have a ultra heretical preaching bot. I don't know. But that's kind of what we're starting to see here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we just want to point this out. Even if you're not in this area, you know, we can hopefully point to some of their teachings and enlighten you on the reason why these guys trying to make this, or trying to create this power preaching team, should be eye-opening to all believers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this stuff isn't funny to us. You know, it's not like I don't sit at home and find this stuff and crack up laughing and call Brit up and like, dude, listen to what this guy said. No, I mean, I'm in pain, you know. And the reason that we keep pointing these people out is we don't want you to listen to this and then just move on. I mean, this is right here in your hometown. You know, this is three. No, I'm sorry. There's four people we're going to talk about today. But, you know, we're not even hitting Perry Stone. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about him. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, he has been at Abba's house.
Yep.
Many times.
Many times, TBN.
Uh-huh. So, you know, this is the reason we do this, the reason that we put ourselves through it is for, number one, I mean, we do polemics. I mean, that's one of the things we're...
And it's biblical.
And it's biblical, yeah. Yes. The other reason why we're doing this show is because we want people to hear this. We want them to listen to what's going on in these churches and stand up, you know, yeah. Spread the word. I mean, we don't care about how many people listen to us for popularity. I mean, who cares?
Yeah, I think our primary concern when it comes to polemics is just warning other believers. And, you know, especially once these churches start getting a name for themselves and mm-hmm. you're seeing more and more people start to flood in to these buildings.
Yeah.
Tabner has what, two? He has one in North Georgia and in Chattanooga.
Mm-hmm.
And then Redemption to the Nations has pretty much taken up an entire block.
Oh, yeah. They own Weir Highland Park Baptist Church. That's their building now. And they own what used to be Temple University.
Yeah. They own a really large area
mm-hmm.
in the downtown region of Chattanooga. And then we have Abba's House, and Abba's House is in the Hickson area. And I'm not sure how many people are actually attending there now, but it's a large church.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at how their seating is set up, I mean, it's actually stadium seating.
Right.
It's you could fit a lot of people in there. And, you know, since it is local, Jeff and I know people that attend these churches, and if they were to ever listen to, you know, Sonic Reformation or sit down and have a conversation with us, the one thing we would want to happen is for them to go back and listen for themselves and eventually walk away, step out of those churches. But I'd say more than likely what would end up happening is they just quit talking to us.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, I'm not out trying to start a fight or anything like that. Yeah. I mean, it sounds mean what we say because, you know, people believe this stuff.
Yeah.
And it hurts their feelings when you call out their preacher.
Yeah.
You know, that I mean, it's automatic defense mode instead of, why aren't you questioning this guy?
Yeah. And we see in Paul's writings, he calls out Hymenaeus and Philetus,
mm-hmm.
two false pastors, false teachers. And that's exactly what he does. He calls them out by name.
Yeah.
And then, so that would be... And not only does he call them out by name, but he calls them out by name and then records their name in this historical document that's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So
through time, they will be known as false teachers.
Yeah, it is permanently in there. So we take what the Holy Inspired Word tells us as believers, and then since it is a command from God, then that's the command that we follow. And it may not sit well with folks, but I'm more afraid of God than I am of man. And I'm not saying that to boast, but I'm serious. I'm more terrified of God than I am of man. And if that's what God commands us to do, to protect the flock, then that's what I'm going to do.
Oh, yeah. So. I mean, I've definitely noticed the circle of friends dwindle, you know. But
that's just because of your B.O. problem.
Hmm?
That's just because of your B.O. problem.
Man. I try.
I know, but...
I bathe once a month.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's jump into this. The first one I'm going to play for you guys is good old Tabner Smith.
Oh.
And listen, I'm not going to pause it until he's through. It's almost... it may be about a minute, but just...
That's 59 seconds too long.
I know, but... This is the kind of stuff that we're talking about right here. So check this out real quick.
That you just turn around and do a 180 and never look back. It's a good definition, but it's not the true definition. The word repent actually is in the word. Re means again. Pent means the top. That's why when you get a pent house, it's all the way at the top of the building. So to repent means to go back to the top. So what he is saying is this. Let me define what he's saying. He, in the midst of a bunch of religious culture, he's telling everybody that is now going to hear a fresh life-giving word from him. He's saying, hey, it's time to go back to the beginning. It's time to go back to the original way I created man to operate.
There you go.
I'm going to play something just real quick.
Metano.
Let me play that one more time.
Metano.
That's repent in the Greek. That means to change one's mind. To change one's mind. To think differently. There's nothing in here, in this Greek word study that I am looking at, that talks about returning to the top. It's the most ridiculous thing I've heard in a long time.
Yeah.
Well, probably since the last show we did. So
yeah. I won't stop you. I'll just tell you this. I looked up the definition on Google and Webster's dictionary. Same thing. Feel or express sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing or sin. To turn from.
Right. To change one's mind.
Yeah.
To turn from. Metanoo. I'm dumbfounded, and I shouldn't be, but what he has done, so he takes the word pent from the English language, okay? He takes the word pent from the English language, so his starting point is already off.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's all right, let's do this. Again, I'm going to go back to Strong's Greek Concordance here, metanoo, to change one's mind. And it says absolutely nothing about returning.
Or being a penthouse.
We are a house of
grace. Oh. Yeah, so let's do this. Let's do this. So he goes to pent. I'm just going to look this definition because I'm...
See, I'll tell everybody this too, man. This is the first time Britt's hearing these. I went through and came up with these. So I've heard them about 15 times a piece, each speaker. So Britt's hearing it for the first time like you guys are. So that's why he's given more of a reaction. I'm already like numb to him and just kind of like, here you go.
Okay, so in the English, pent, shut in or confined, that's the adjective. A verb is, it's a past participle of pen. So pent is shut in or confined. Okay, that's in the English. He's totally, so what he has done is he has defined the English word. Well, he's taken repent and he separated it. He takes the word pent and gets what the English translation is, which shut in or confined, and then to return back. And see, this is the problem with Tavner, because this is the way he exegetes scripture, and
he's wrong.
It's not anywhere even close. You don't exegete the English language that's been translated. You go back to the Greek, and that's where that's the starting point. If you're going to translate the original language, which was, I'm assuming, what he was trying to do. But when he says that we are to return back, or to return to what God originally created us to be. He said something along those lines, right?
Yeah.
There's so much missing there. And this is the biggest issue inside churches like Tavner's. So Tavner is skipping a bunch of steps here. He's directly going to this return without first talking about what it is that we are to return from. And I'm going to quit using that word, because that's the way he pretty much described it. He doesn't use the proper definition of repent, to change one's mind. Why do we need to change our mind? Because we are sinners against God. The things that we are doing are sinning against God. So instead of talking about what God did by way of his grace and mercy by sending his son to the cross to die on our behalf, the believer's behalf, to take the wrath of God upon himself, that being Christ, so that those who come to believe will be seen as righteous. So he takes our sins and imputes his righteousness to us. And Tavner just feels as if, why do I even need to talk about that? Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to properly break down this word repent. What I'm going to do is make it man-centered and say how we're going to return back to the top. You can't return back to the top, Tavner, without first knowing who you are, without God first regenerating your heart so that you can know who you truly are.
And remember, this is the guy that said that God cannot do anything on earth without using a body. He has to have the permission. The creator has to have permission to come to earth and do anything. Not that the Holy Spirit resides in us and works through us, but that God can't even come here without our permission. I mean, that's the same guy.
There is no reason why this man should be standing behind a pulpit. I mean, honestly, if that's what you're going to do is take the word repent.
Metano.
Play that again.
Metano.
And what does that mean?
That's the Greek for repent. Metano.
Huh.
Yeah.
So if but it doesn't mean penthouse.
No. No.
Because, I mean, I repent a lot. I don't have a penthouse. I'm not on the top. I'm still in the same house that I've been in for 8.5 years. You know, I mean, I'm poor. I mean, I'm not on top. By any means, I'm not on top. So maybe am I doing it wrong, Britt?
No, it's not you. It's Tavner. Tavner.
Okay.
Tavner's the one that's doing it wrong. And what it is that he is preaching and how he is trying to break down these words that he doesn't like to use.
Mm-hmm.
It is...
What was great, I think he used a verse from Matthew where it said the word repent in it.
I'm sure.
That one verse was what he used and went straight from the verse and was like, you know, talking about, this is biblical. This is, you know, let's read it in scripture and then I'll explain it to you. That's how he led into the clip we heard. And again, just for the record, the way I watched that was went to the venue's website. All his sermons are online on his website. Really, all these people are. It's not hard to find. So for resource purposes, that was from thevenue.com.
So if he was going to do this properly and how he broke down repent, if he would actually use the Greek word metanao, if he would have broke it down to meta, you know what meta means? Change. You know what nahu means? Mind.
That actually makes sense.
Right.
I mean,
return back to the top. That's how bad it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wanted to play Ronnie Phillips next.
Junior.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, actually, him and Dad are on stage together right here, but they're both just promoting. Okay. You know, it's like Ronnie Sr. travels now. Right. Like, he just got back from Arkansas, and, you know, he just keeps going out and about.
Okay.
But he's promoting what he's got going on, and there's a specific reason why I picked this clip when Ronnie Jr. talks. And you're about to hear why.
All right.
So here we go.
About that. Ronnie's talking about a house of grace, and I went to Grace House. And they have over 500 there. Started the church 9 years ago. He went through some issues and had a period of restoration. He and Mickey, his wife, are doing great, and the church is prospering. But way back, before we built this building, they were clearing land at Faith Church, and they had two houses. You know, you can. How many of you have seen the show where they jack up houses and move them and then go remodel them? Well, they had these houses to sell. And God convicted Pastor Eddie Lawrence, and they sold one of those houses and sent every dime to Abba's house to help us get this building up. And I was able to return and be a blessing to them. Could you give God some praise about that? The divine connections. And in just a couple of weeks, I'll be traveling to Detroit, Michigan to be with Pastor Greg Casto, and then over with Bob Vineyard, and then back home for most of the rest of the summer. I'm going to...
Going to preach for Perry Stone this month, if y'all want to drive
May 29th at OCI, okay? So hope you'll come over.
So
be blessed.
God is blessing him in a powerful way. And let me tell you, we have confirmed my partner's conference. I've done two, but the first time Ronnie Phillips Ministries International will be hosted here will be in September this year. We're still going to do the golf tournament. I'm going to need your help, by the way. I don't want you on my team because you're not any better than me. But
no, I don't want
we
you
are going
either.
To be doing all that. And everybody's been asking for the new thing. And one of my heroes in the ministry, who I've admired for years, is Ron Carpenter Jr. He is a spiritual father of my new friend who pastors in this city, Tabner Smith, who pastors the Venue Church. So the lineup is going to be me on Wednesday night. Ron Carpenter Jr. is coming on Thursday night to be with us. Glory to God. Dr. Ron Phillips Friday night. Tabner Smith from Venue Church will be here Saturday night, and Rabbi Kurt Landry will be back on Sunday morning with me that morning. Give God praise and glory.
See why I played that clip?
All right. So I'm going to say something. There is such a thing as guilt by association. And I think what we are seeing here is guilt by association. So we know that Perry Stone and Ron Phillips have shared a stage before.
Mm-hmm. And Perry Stone's at Abba's house every year for that
fresh oil, new wine. Yeah. Yeah. So there is that in and of itself should, I'll be honest with you, if I didn't know anything about Ron Phillips, and now this is way out there, so... before anybody would come and preach behind the pulpit at Christ Reformed Church, the elders here would do a thorough background check. But if someone came to me and said, hey, you ought to try and get Ron Phillips Sr. to come and preach one Sunday, not that they ever would, this is just a far out story, I would automatically say no before I knew anything about him, because the amount of time that he has spent with Perry Stone and those two going back and forth with one another.
Mm-hmm.
So, your discernment level, if you cannot discern what's wrong with Perry Stone, you should not be a pastor. And what this man goes on about, and we've talked about him numerous, how long ago was it? It's probably one of our...
It was like our second episode.
Yeah, I mean, it was way back when, but mm-hmm. we did a breakdown on him and the crazy things that he says. He looks through the Old Testament and finds these codes and numbers in there that
aren't there.
They only make sense to him.
Yeah.
And so...
But that's a good point, though. How can you dispute it? He's the only one that knows it. I'm sure that's what he says. Yeah. I'm sure that's part of his fight.
Yeah, yeah. It's awfully amazing that we've had theologians poring over the Word for thousands of years, and yet he's the first one to see this. I think that pretty much speaks for itself, and then for someone like Ron Phillips to endorse that. And then we go to Ron Carpenter Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you want to talk about someone... Again, that is off the wall, and what you hear from his sermons are pretty much the same thing over and over again. He'll take a verse, and he'll talk about it briefly, and then you get stories about himself, and that just goes on and on and on. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm going to be careful in saying this, but if I'm not mistaken, I thought there was a point in time where Ron Carpenter Jr. considered himself an apostle?
I'm not 100% sure.
I'm going to play this clip right here. So.
And they wanted to make sure that there was no gathering of people so there wouldn't be a revolt or an uprising. But Jesus on one occasion fed 4,000 who assembled to hear him. On another occasion fed 5,000 who assembled to hear him. The Bible said he was constantly getting into a boat and having to cast out from the shore so that the whole congregation could see him and hear him. Why? He was a rule breaker.
Okay. Let me just clarify what you heard. He did say he was a rule breaker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, doesn't this sound kind of Furtick-ish? You know, because Furtick said that God broke the law.
Mm-hmm.
And now we just heard Ron Carpenter Jr. say that Jesus was a rule breaker. Okay, I'm going to let this play just...
What? He was a rule...
Wait, I should have added this in. We do understand that Jesus came here to fulfill the law for us sinners.
Mm-hmm.
Not break the law, to fulfill the law. Okay, all right.
He was always going above and beyond what was normal for the time. It was even in the law, he was a rule breaker.
What? He was the only one to fulfill the law.
So he just said that even in the law, he was a rule breaker.
But he was the one and only
one
man
to fulfill the law.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Rule breaker.
Okay.
Hmm. Makes sense. Not.
If I'm not mistaken here, Galatians 4:4, Christ kept the law perfectly. He was born and lived under the law of Moses.
Hmm. But yet he was a rule and law breaker.
Yeah. And we got a little bit more here. Matthew 5:17. Not only did Messiah perfectly keep the law, he fulfilled it.
Even in the law, he was a rule breaker. They would eat things without going through all the ceremonial cleansings and doing all the washings of their hands.
What?
He's what he just referred to. There was the Pharisees' traditions.
Wow.
He didn't go through those traditions because they weren't the holy part of the law. Okay, so here we go. He actually laid down the traditions of men.
I wish you would get out of your mind that one movie sometime that just depicts Jesus of Nazareth walking on water and never cracking a smile. And blonde hair and big blue eyes. He was not blonde-headed and he did not have big blue eyes. He didn't even come from a European part of the world.
And this is the man that Ronnie Phillips Jr. looks up to.
Yeah,
and
his spiritual father.
And Tavener Smith.
That's the church that he came from.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we're seeing the correlation here.
Wow.
It's really sad that you're seeing these men kind of bound together by false teaching.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like you got Ron Carpenter Jr. in the center, and then branching out, you got Ronnie Jr., Tavener Smith.
You know what? And this is one of the biggest issues that I have with this type of preaching. So he's walking back and forth in front of the stage. He doesn't have the Bible open. He's not staying in one place reading from the scripture. He's just going back and forth, blabbing his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of times what ends up happening is they see the crowd getting stirred up and they just keep going and keep going. And mm-hmm. before they know it, they're just saying stuff that's not even biblical. So yeah, so that there's that, and that's Ron Carpenter Jr. So yeah.
And again, Ronnie Jr. looks up to this guy as what was it called? His spiritual father?
Spiritual father.
And Tavener Smith came from his church.
Yep. And now so Tavener Smith is going to be preaching at Abba's house, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're just creating this den.
Yeah, you've got a week of it, or like a five-day thing coming up. It's going to be Ron Sr., Ron Jr., Tavner Smith, and didn't they say Ron Carpenter Jr. is going to be there?
Yes.
Or, yeah.
He's going to be there.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Okay. Let's move on to this guy here. Have we talked about Steve Ball from Metro Tab?
We did. If I'm not mistaken, I think that was the episode with all the glitches in it.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think it came across.
That's right. You're right. Okay, well, just real quick, Steve Ball is the lead pastor at Metro Tab Church. It used to be like Dick's Sporting Goods over by off of like, was it Airport Road or Lee Highway?
Yeah, one of those.
Yeah. Big following. His wife is the co-pastor of this church. And, buddy, she is, I don't know which one's worse, him or her. I mean, they're both bad.
So what you're saying is neither one of them is qualified.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. I've got two clips that I wanted to play from him. The first one's real quick because this is my favorite quote that I hear from preachers or false teachers. I'm not going to call them preachers. And going through, I listened to this whole sermon, and when I heard this, it was just like, there it is. And this one, this is a very short video clip, and then I'll get the second one. But this is a key thing to pay attention to when you want to look into other preachers and churches and what you know, leaders and all that. You know, if you're going online and watching sermons and you hear this, you have guaranteed yourself a false teacher with this line right here.
Each one for his sons and his daughters. And so David made a choice.
Right here.
Now, there's a lot in this verse that I don't really have time to preach at all, but I want to try just to squeeze it a little bit.
Did you catch that?
Each one for his sons and his daughters. And so David made a choice.
Right here.
Now, there's a lot in this verse that I don't really have time to preach at all.
Okay.
Just to squeeze it a little.
Did you catch it?
Yeah. He doesn't have time to hit the other verses that go along with it. So, where's he going with this, though?
It's the name of this sermon was called "Encourage Yourself." So everything that he goes back and forth with scripture verses, but it's always it goes back to you.
Yeah.
Like, this is for you. You are wrote into this.
Pretty much the same as the way the majority of preachers and teachers go about.
Yeah. I've got another clip, but it's going to take me just a second because you can't skim through his sermons. You can only do like 15-second fast forwards at a time. But yeah, and this church, they speak in tongues. They do the whole kit caboodle, man.
So his wife preaches, and you know, I'll never forget one of the things that the commercial that we played that time. But I think the audio quality was so bad, it was pretty much done. But the commercial was for this marriage seminar thing that they were giving.
Mm-hmm.
And the commercial they had was two of their staff members walk in Steve's office, and his wife is sitting on his lap, and they're making out.
Like, actually making out.
They're making out. And so, right then and there, it was quite disturbing. But the whole premise for the commercial, though, was to advertise for this upcoming marriage seminar. Mm-hmm. And it was just
awful.
All right. You got that clip?
Yes. Okay. So this clip is about a minute long, but this gives you a good idea of what kind of teacher this guy is right here. So
Steve Ball, right?
Steve Ball. Yep. At Metro Tab. Check it out.
You will recover all. I need to tell somebody today, I don't know who's here, but I need to tell somebody that God is a recovery specialist. He is a recovery specialist. Not only is God universally a recovery specialist, but you are sitting in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I don't know if that means anything to you or not, but on Broad Street, just a few miles from here, downtown, there is a museum called the Recovery Museum. And around the turn of the century, there was a man in this community that built the very first towing and recovery truck. I think his name was Holmes. And he built the first towing and recovery truck in modern history in Chattanooga. To pull cars, vehicles, back in those days, wagons, and whatever, off the side of the road, out of the creek. Creek, for those of you that don't know Southernese. And so they built a museum here in memory of recovery. I used to ride by as we would go up to TBN to do some TV programs up there, and I would see that and I would think, what is that? A towing and recovery museum? Who wants to go in there and look at tow trucks? And one day the Lord said, stop and go in there. So I went in there and I started seeing the history, and the Lord spoke to me and says, that museum is here because modern recovery started here. See, you're still not getting it. God is a recovery specialist, but he has placed you in the heart at the beginning place of recovery. And in these last days, we know that the devil has stolen a lot from the people of God. If you are like a lot of us, the devil has stolen a lot from you.
Dude. There's so many things.
Is that not ridiculous?
Wrong there.
Yes.
So God told him. Well, first, I like how he name drops. TBN.
Mm-hmm.
When I was going to the studio to TBN to record some shows, I'd pass by this place. And then God told me,
mm-hmm,
go in there. So he goes in there, right? God told him to go in there, which that wasn't God.
Nope.
But God keeps talking to him. This is the heart of recovery. Chattanooga is the heart of recovery. It says nowhere in the scripture. That is the most ridiculous.
So the tow truck museum is
he probably.
What does that have to do with God?
He probably gave more expository commentary.
I mean, we just learned more about tow trucks. I mean, I didn't know Mr. Holmes created the tow truck.
Right, I didn't either. So he probably just exegeted more from that story than he has any scripture verse. And that story was straight up bogus.
And pointless.
Yeah. Story time from your crazy Uncle Larry. I would much rather listen to that than what I just heard, you know?
Old crazy Uncle Larry. What was he doing?
I don't know, but he's not exegeting tow truck stories. And yet people just keep packing that place out. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. The... I don't even know what to say about that.
Really, there's not much to say about it. I mean, it is so ridiculous.
Well, and he's just straight up lying to the people.
Yeah.
Okay, so if he's not lying, then a demon's talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think that demon's God, then either way you approach it, man doesn't need to be preaching and teaching.
No.
Needs to be out from behind the pulpit.
No. And I should have pulled up some stuff on his wife, though. I mean, she, oh, good grief. Man, the way she talks is, I don't even know what to say, Britt.
Do you have anything on Wallace?
Oh, yeah. We've got the Wallace, Kevin Wallace heretical quote of the week here.
Okay.
And this clip that I'm going to play is after the service, you know, he's going down into the crowd and putting his hands on their forehead and pushing them back, you know, all that stuff. So
Kevin, after his sermon, goes down into the crowd,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay. Oh, and they're all standing up there with their hands up and okay. crying.
I'm feeling it.
You'll hear, like, crying in the background and stuff like that.
That's what I'm all about. Stir me up emotionally.
I wish we had some kind of, like, theme song to go into the Kevin Wallace heretical quote of the week. But
yeah, we'll work on that.
Yeah. Neither one of us can sing, so no. We won't even try that.
No.
But let's check out good old Redemption to the Nations here. Here we go.
Hope is found.
I don't know you, sweetheart. Here's what I see. Watch, listen. Listen and see it in your heart as I say it to you. I see the Lord turning a page in a book. And the page that he just turned it to is blank. There's nothing on it. And you're terrified about what might be written on that page because of what was written in the previous chapter. You're afraid of what the next chapter is going to look like based on the previous chapter. But he told me to tell you that this chapter is going to be very different than the previous chapter. In fact, I see him writing one word on this page. Watch, joy, J-O-Y. And then I turn the page again and it's J-O-Y. And I turn to the next page and it's J-O-Y. And I keep turning and it keeps being joy, 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 joy. You don't believe it, but it's true. It's your inheritance. Ah! There's a college student in here right now that's got a concern about fall semester tuition.
Pay attention right here.
Something's happened in the last few days. I don't know what it is, if you lost a scholarship or financial aid got messed up or whoever was paying the bill bailed out on you. But who am I talking to? Oh, her? She just told you that. Say it again. What are you getting a major in, baby?
They let me walk this Saturday, but I got a human development and business.
Human development and business and education. Wow. Where do you go to school? Lee University. Okay. And you need how much? $1,500. Okay.
That's just
so we're going to give you $1,500 tonight. Come on, if you'll praise him for what he did for her, he'll make a way for you. I've seen you move. Come on, Pastor Tobin, sing.
I wish that we had video on the podcast just for that one video, because the video with the audio really makes it. And
all right, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Kevin Wallace, you are a false teacher. What you did right there was blaspheme God, the Holy Spirit, and the Son. That was absolutely ridiculous. So, the first part, he talks to God, and apparently God shows him a vision, because at first I thought he was talking about God looking at a blank page.
Yeah.
But then he says that he started turning the pages, and it said, joy, 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 joy.
Right. God was giving him that vision.
That's a bold-faced lie. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say the exact same thing. If it's not a lie, then you're under some type of demonic captivity, and they're just playing you for a fool. So either way, you're either a liar or you're listening to demons. Disqualifies you. You didn't see that. No. Or if you did, it was demonic. There's no other way around it. This is part of what's wrong with the American church today. Men like Kevin Wallace, men like Ron Carpenter Jr., men like Tavner Smith, men like Ronnie Phillips Jr., men like Ronnie Phillips Sr., and Stephen Ball. This is the problem. I tell you, the other problem are the so-called people sitting underneath their teachings, because they're not digging into the Word and being Bereans like Paul commanded us to be.
Goats.
They're not noble. Why? The second part. So the second part, Kevin's walking around, I guess supposedly comes across this college student.
Yeah. Now, he had already gone by her once, and she was already crying and everything. He didn't stop on her. He kept going down the line and went back to her. And probably because, I mean, for one, she's like bawling. You can hear her in the background.
Yeah, okay.
And so he looks back over after he did that whole big to-do before he went back over to her.
Sure.
And the other thing that I've noticed watching that video several times, there's a dude in a ball cap that stays right with Kevin.
Okay.
But that's as far as I can make an allegation, because I have nothing else to back it up other than that dude never leaves Kevin Wallace.
So here's something that I see. It's kind of interesting. It's a large church.
Yeah.
You've got a variety of ages in there.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not hard to be in front of hundreds of people and say that there is a college student in here that is
financial trouble.
Yeah, that's lacking money for a college semester. That's easy. That's pretty much a psychic code call.
Yeah.
You know, it's like me standing in front of a room of hundreds of people saying, I know someone in here recently just lost someone close to them. A female, probably like a mother figure. You lost her tragically. You're extremely close to her. You know, if you were able to pick your mother, you would have picked her. Is this describing, you know, someone in here?
And somebody might say, oh, it's my grandmother. Yes, yes, yeah. the mother figure. Yeah, yeah.
So he sees this girl bawling her eyes out. And, you know, so I did notice that he said $1,500, and I heard another woman say, she just told me that.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I know that room's crowded. I know there's a lot of people in there, but who's to say that he didn't hear that?
Yeah, and the more their videos you watch,
yeah,
when stuff like that happens, or the key points of his sermons where the crowd's supposed to get going, you pick up on the repetitions of who does what, like, right, in the crowd.
Yeah.
And that girl that said she just told me that, it's like they look like they know each other, Kevin and that girl.
Okay.
I mean, like, she probably works for the church. And, I mean, she's gonna give the dialogue,
yeah,
to lead him in, man.
Sure.
I mean, I know I'm kind of making accusations, and I don't mean to, but the more you watch these videos, well, you start seeing the little signs.
Something else that I find interesting, and I wonder how much they practice this, is the more he yells a word, then the band comes in.
Oh, when he started going, Joy!
Yeah, and then
it got, like, he picks, yeah, it up. And
so
they,
I almost guarantee you, and I can't say for, you know, for sure, but I would almost guarantee that before the service or whenever the band's practicing, he's going, y'all need to follow my cue.
Mm-hmm.
If I start saying a word over and over and over and it gets louder and louder and louder, y'all need to come in.
Yeah.
You know, hard and heavy.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's no different than playing in a band, like, you know, non-church-related musicians, you know. You learn, I mean, like, the years that I played drums, you just learn the feel of each person in your band. And a lot of times, you know, if you've got, like, a really good lead guitar player, you know his cues that he wants to solo. Yeah. You know, you can feel it. And, you know, it's just that body language, the communication that you develop amongst musicians. So, I mean, these musicians are probably very top-notch musicians. I mean, I've heard some of their songs going, yeah, they play well. Oh, I mean, yeah, they play well. So they're probably used to that body chemistry and the flow.
Sure.
And so they've learned Kevin's little triggers. And, yeah, and they're right there with him.
All on it.
Yeah. And it's scripted. Oh, I mean, man, every word he says is on that big teleprompter. You've seen it, like, that's out there at the front row of the seats. He's got that teleprompter, and I think he's got one that's, like, up high. So he's got, you know, he can look directly at the crowd, or he can glance up and get his cue. But yeah, I mean, I'm not picking on Kevin Wallace. I'm repeatedly bringing him up because listen to what we just played.
Yeah.
Listen to what we played last week. Listen to the episode before that where it was all about him.
Yeah.
This clip was from their Wednesday night service,
yeah,
last week. This ain't from months ago. This, yeah, is right now. This is happening.
Hmm. And I think the other thing is, we were talking earlier about these pastors and preachers in this area kind of uniting.
Mm-hmm.
So both Tavner and Ronnie Phillips Jr. spoke at Redemption to the Nations on Good Friday.
Yes, they did.
So
now you see why I put this group of people together, minus Steve Ball.
Yeah, but Steve Ball would fit right in.
Yes, yes. But the other three have connections. Mm. Like you were talking about at the beginning of the episode, it's like, you know, Voltron is trying to build,
yeah,
into the mega robot.
Yeah, yeah, the mega heretical pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Man, alive. You know, there's sometimes when you hear someone, and it's they do a fairly decent job in covering up their blasphemies, or their blaspheming, I should say. But it's almost as if these guys aren't even trying to cover it up.
Uh-uh.
I mean,
they don't. I mean, I can tell you just from every sermon that I've watched, man, they don't backpedal. I mean, if it comes out of their mouth, it is golden.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
And, you know, all of them have that cue where it's like when they say something and that's supposed to be like a trigger point for the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, you'll hear Tavner Smith out there, I'm preaching. Yeah, don't get me preaching.
If you got to tell somebody that, you're not.
Yeah. Kevin Wallace, his is, I don't think anybody heard me. You know? And even Steve Ball, he does a lot of that. Let me say that again.
Yeah.
You know, those are cue points in these sermons that that if you want to go back and do polemics and listen to these, listen for the cues. Every one of them have that little cue.
It's kind of sad, too, because you're actually degrading the congregation when you say that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think y'all understood what I just said or how profound it was. So I'm going to say it again, or I'm going to continuously say amen.
Until you clap.
Or mm-hmm. Am I preaching up in here? No. No, you're not. You're not.
But the sad part is, Britt, is the people follow that.
Oh, yeah.
It's like when they say it the first time, you know, it's kind of like the crowd may be sitting out there going, not really with you on that. Yeah. Let me say it again.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, the man behind the pulpit wants us to clap.
He's getting ready for us to give money. He wants us to give money. We're going to give that money.
We're going to sow a seed. Going to sow that seed. We're going to reap the reward. Yeah.
And you know, people get offended that I make fun of them. I don't care. They're not men of God.
No. What do you say, man? I got my phone turned off and it came through the computer.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. Are we recording?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You'll just edit out.
I will.
So yeah, man, it's just, I mean, these guys, they're not men of God.
No.
They're actors. They are, for me to even try to imagine that these men truly believe what they're saying is really hard, because when I hear it, I'm like, how could anybody believe this? And I'm not that well educated in scripture, you know? I mean, I know it just crawls all over you, man. I mean, you've gone through seminary, you know, I mean, you're an educated man, okay? And I'm not like boasting on you. I'm just saying, me and you comparison, I'm very uneducated. I'm learning, you know, this is a life journey. You know, I come to you for teaching, the elders here at the church, I go to them for teaching. But I can sit here and pick these guys apart because they are not men of God. Yeah. None of them are.
Well, when you see what they do to the scripture, or let me say what they don't do with the scripture, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
And what we just listened to today, I don't know how there's a single person sitting in their church. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons why we do this, is so that people will be warned that these are not men of God. And they're just feeding off of you.
Mm-hmm. Without you, they're nothing.
That's right. That's right.
They
can make all the claims they want to an empty room.
Mm-hmm.
I
mean, Kevin Wallace, remember, he was given $4 million to buy Highland Park Baptist Church. He didn't have that money.
Right.
People gave it to him.
Yeah.
Without those people, he wouldn't be doing this.
Yep. Yeah. It's a shame.
Yeah,
it's a shame. And this is the reason why we do it, to call out these wolves. I'll be honest with you. Every one of these men, need to repent for what they have said and done, and they need to step away from preaching.
Absolutely. And by repent, we don't mean start over at the top.
Yeah, I don't mean return back to your to the top.
What top is it?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either, man.
Crazy.
Yeah. Well, brother, you good?
I'm good, man.
Okay. I'm good. Well, this has been a rough episode today, man. Yeah. We have had everything go wrong.
It's the devil, Jeff.
It's because we're making fun of these false teachers.
They're coming after us. Coming after us.
All right. Well, anyway, guys, we're going to get out of here. Check us out on Podomatic, iTunes, and Google Play at Sonic Reformation. You can email us at sonicreformation@gmail.com and look us up on Facebook. That's the easy, quick way to get to us.
True that.
So, anyway, we're going to wrap this up before we mess it up any further.
Yeah, don't think that's possible, man.
All right, everybody, until next time, have a great one.
All right, take it easy. Yeah.